from SLB Radio in Pittsburgh, Youth Express, the nation's first 24/7 radio station devoted to youth writing, music, and conversation.
I don't know why some people look down on people who either give up on college or never go in the first place.
There are people that just hate you because of your race or ethnicity, but we are definitely making progress.
She's hungry for everything, the life within, trying to find her way around again. Looking and searching is what she's doing.
So I followed my brother down to the riverbank, and we donned our skates. While Lev hurried, I tarried. While Lev trudged through the slush, I caught a flake on my tongue.
My parents are from Bhutan. They migrated to Nepal, and I born there, and I moved here in the US. So it's a long journey to get here.
On today's episode, an original song and a discussion on the humane treatment of animals. But first, from our 2019 Streaming Justice talk show on Martin Luther King Day, Catrice Stallworth, Oy Adebagio, Nadira Johnson, and Kavya Weaver shared their thoughts on gender and cultural representation in music and movies.
Statistics show that the representation of women in pop music is alarmingly low. Is that true, guys?
Listening to all the recent music that I've been going in, I'm like, here's my favorite old white man. And then I'm like, here's my favorite European white man. And then I'm like, here's my favorite American white man. And I'm just like, there's got to be a woman somewhere in here.
Yeah. For me, like, whenever the radio is just, like, on whatever it is, 96.1 or whatever, I'm just like, stupid boys singing stupid songs.
And to back up that, the New York Times did an analysis, and according to their analysis, from the top 600 songs from 2012 to 2017, the study found that of 1,239 performing artists, only 22.4% of them were women, which is very low and not proportional to how many women there actually are.
Yeah. Especially the 0.4, like... There can't really be 0.4 of a woman, but okay.
Why do you think representation is so low for women in pop music?
I think that the music industry just makes it very challenging for women to succeed compared to men. There's a lot of obstacles that a female artist has to face compared to a male artist that is going to make it harder for her to be a popular and for her to be recognized as a serious artist.
The industry puts pressure on female musicians to be sexy. Mm-hmm. So that might be one of the reasons. Because if sexiness isn't like a quality that they want to show, their music is more just about their outward appearance. It's how they feel. Right. It's what they experience. So that might be one of the challenges. Being a successful artist requires strong leadership skills, and many powerful executives in the industry don't think that women are strong enough to handle that kind of responsibility.
It really does lead back to stereotypes believed about women that, a woman is too fragile for this, but in reality, they're not.
There's also a lot of, like, age discrimination that I think plays a factor. An older male artist would be, like, considered seasoned or experienced, but for an older female artist, then they're, like, irrelevant or unattractive.
That's true, not just in the music industry, but just in, like, what is it? The movie industry, the film industry, mm-hmm. Like how there is the sexiest men alive. Do they have a magazine for the sexiest woman alive? I don't know if that's a thing. It might just be for men. Is it?
Maybe.
I don't know. but it's more so like it says women are considered to be kind of objectified and seen as beautiful. And that's, I remember, bad example, but this one episode from the show that I watched talked about how the first questions that a reporter would ask someone on the red carpet, like a female on the red carpet, would be, oh, so what are you wearing? Or no, like, what was your favorite part about the movie? How did your personal experiences impact the role? They would always ask about what she was wearing first, and it didn't matter about where she was coming from and presenting herself in the role.
I also think that the music industry, especially in pop and rap, is just inherently sexist. Like, it capitalizes off of sexism because a lot of the lyrics are very degrading and demeaning to women. So that's just going to inherently make it a lot more challenging for a woman to succeed when the entire industry is constantly objectifying women.
Like, especially in rap, which I don't really even like because of how objectifying it is. I feel like if you are a woman trying to be a rapper, then it's like you either have to like really act like one of the guys and objectify yourself, basically, or say, oh, no, I'm not like those other women. And just not in rap even, but like generally, I feel like you have to just like try so hard as a woman to be different from other women.
Mm-hmm. I was watching Cardi B's Carpool Karaoke with James Corden yesterday, and she was saying how at first, even though she's been around forever, which I didn't really know because I didn't hear about her until, you know, her songs, but she's been around forever, and it was hard for different record labels to accept her because, I guess, of who she was and what she was putting out there. But she was just saying, be consistent with your music, try to do it for yourself, and just try to find the right person who will accept you for who you are. Mm-hmm. So just to be okay with who you are. That's with anything. Just be okay with who you are and express yourself through your talents, through your music, and don't be afraid to just be yourself.
As a person of color, do you think it's harder to transition between different music genres compared to white people? For example, like, you know, you have like a white band and one day, not one day, but one album could be like alternative songs, but they could go, then they could go to pop songs and then they could go to rap without like a lot of backlash against their race or without like the record label saying you can't do that. Do you feel like it's harder for people of color to do that?
That's an interesting point, but I do agree that probably people of color are kind of boxed into certain genres, whereas a white artist might have more like fluidity and flexibility for what they what direction they want to go in with their music.
Yeah, I kind of noticed how like for a person of color, they're just trapped in this box and they have to stick to one thing. But if a white artist tries doing different genres, they're seen as progressive or like innovative with their music.
So what do you guys think about, like, with this issue of representation of people of color and women in the music industry, do you think that social media is a tool that can help to move it forward, or would it be damaging to creating progress?
It can help, but it can also work against you because, like, there are so many different kinds of people on social media. Like, there are some people who are totally for it, and they're in support of that positive change that we need, but then there are also those like racist people that are like somewhere on there that'll be that backlash.
Definitely with all the technology we have that we didn't have like 30 years ago, I'd say that it's people of color and women have more of a market to create their own songs and do what they want to do, like with YouTube and SoundCloud, but at the same time it's still pretty hard.
Like, the pressure to be like everybody else, like you said, it's still on the women to want to express themselves in music through social media or YouTube. So it's still hard to express yourself because the stereotypes or the labels, they don't go away depending on which platform you're trying to come from to express your music. So that could be one of, like, the curses of social media. But some of the blessings were it could create important conversations in the digital world. Mm. Like, this music is still relevant, even though it's coming from a person of color.
Another negative is the fact that even with all this technology, there are some people that just don't care, or there are some people that just don't try enough. It's really hard to find, like, different songs in that way.
Another positive aspect of social media is that when an artist is trying to succeed in the music industry and they're just facing a lot of dead ends with executives who are racist or sexist, I think social media can be a good tool because they can use their voices to create a support base among marginalized groups. And then that kind of forces the high power people and executives in the music industry to recognize that there is a market for those kind of voices and that people want to hear more diversity.
So that brings me to another question. Do you think that rap only belongs to a certain group of people, more specifically black men? Because you kind of hear that, I don't know, at least I feel like I kind of get that vibe sometimes, like If you're a woman, what are you doing in rap? If you're an Asian, what are you doing in rap? If you're a white person, you definitely don't need to rap. So, thoughts on that?
Yeah, I don't think it should be specifically like a black people thing, because if you're good at something, whether it's sports, music, drawing, something, I don't know, you can be good at a lot of things. It doesn't belong to a specific group. Black people may have made the genre what it is in their own way. Everybody has their own influence. So it's just whatever race you are, just making rap your own and being true to who you are and trying to just enjoy it. Because there's different artists that aren't black that are pretty successful today. Like Post Malone, I think he's pretty good. Awkwafina, like you said, she was from Crazy Rich Asians, really good movie. She's not black. She's Asian. And she's really, really good at what she does. So it doesn't matter what race you are. You shouldn't discriminate based on the color of your skin. If you're talented in that thing, you should pursue it.
Now, Mount Lebanon senior Nick DiUlio with an original song called Wildflower Bandit.
Have you seen, heard the siren from the meadows creeping through the grasses? Can it be of deception? She's the creature slipping in your vision, dripping scarlet fever, drifting through night air. In her gestures, she whispers softly, calling out your name, dear. You are a tame one. While you slumber, she steals your dreaming as you hand them over, a wildflower bandit. Bloody finger callous, caress you sweetly. In her dimples, she blows your spirit softly like a breeze is chipping your conviction. While you frolic, she flutters with you, wild dancing true love, stranger of the forest. You don't turn around.
Our last segment features a roundtable discussion from South Fayette High School on the humane treatment of animals.
Welcome to Teens Talk on Youth Express, recorded live from Safayette High School. This is Annika Henkel, and I'm a ninth grader here at Safayette. Joining me are Tatum Sanders, Mia Fraps, and Nadia Buktab.
Today we'll be discussing animal shelters as well as turtle extinction due to straws, but first we're going to talk about China postponing the ban on big game hunting. So China first announced that they will be allowing like hospitals to use like the tiger bone and like also like rhino horns like to use as medicine. So like do you think like that's like a good thing that they're going to be using that, or it's like a bad thing for that?
I personally don't think that this is a good thing because both of these animal groups are on the like extinction list, and several groups actually did protest, and that's why they are planning on postponing to research more about it before they actually lift the ban.
I agree and disagree. Like, if it's for medical use, I think that maybe like they shouldn't be doing it as much, but still, if it's like something that someone needs and they're really sick, yeah, maybe, but at the same time, they're also on the extinction list, and global wildlife is at harm, so.
I also disagree. I think that the tigers and rhinos are more important than taking the parts of them to use for, like, medical usage.
Some people also just use them to, like, just hunt, and, like, they're not even, like, there's, like, no regard to them. They just, like, you do it, like, almost, like, for fun, like, out in regard that they're close to not even existing anymore.
There's also like many other uses of like other medicine that one can use to get rid of like an illness rather than using bones or parts of animals.
I think that like because they're using the bones in like the rhino horns, like how would they really help someone in like a medical use? So I don't really understand why they would want that. Maybe just because people want it as like a souvenir, but they're still harming animals. So I don't get the point of that.
I don't get the point of it either. It just doesn't make any sense, especially when they know, like, if there's not many of them left, why would they, like, go hunting for them rather than, like, other animals that who aren't on the verge of not existing anymore?
This ban was made 25 years ago for a reason, and I think that if they get rid of it now, it would kind of just get rid of, like, the whole entire, like, first, like, initial response to the extinction of them.
Going back to just the medicine thing, like, it just doesn't make any sense of why they would use them for medicine, because I just don't see the point of it. I don't feel like it's helping anything, especially towards them.
So the next topic that we'll be discussing about is the straws that are harming the turtle population, and this is Tatum Sanders on Youth Express.
So on to the worldwide known issue of straws. A lot of plastic is found in oceans every single year, and a lot of it is straws. What do you guys think about the whole entire straw issue?
I just don't like understand why they would have them if they're gonna just litter them and put them in the ocean. Like, they know like animals can get sick and it could harm them in like certain ways, and like there's a lot of articles and stuff about them just getting rid of straws permanently for that, but I feel like at the same time it's not necessary to get rid of them because people still use them every day when they're having a drink or something.
I know, like, whenever I go on vacation somewhere like further south, the straws are always, like, paper. And then, like, when you're up here where there's, like, not an ocean or anything, they're plastic straws. I think that's, like, kind of weird. What do you guys think about that?
I also agree. Whenever I went on vacation, the hotel only had paper straws, and several restaurants that we went to didn't even offer straws. Also, Starbucks is planning on getting rid of straws completely by 2020, and many locations already don't have any straws available.
They said they might, like, put in metal straws, and to be honest, I would not want to use a metal straw. I have to chew on a straw. Like, that sounds weird, but I have to. And I just would not be able to do that with a metal straw because it just bothers me.
In an article, it says there's over 8 million tons of plastic in the oceans. And I think that they should have done something about this before, like, the turtles have actually been, like, starting to go extinct. That's what I think.
And it's not only turtles, too. Several other marine life, like, groups are also on the extinction list now because of other plastic types. And it's estimated that America uses 500 million straws each day, and a single straw just already takes 500 years to just dissolve.
I feel like, though, like, since the straws are in the ocean, I think, obviously, most of the straws are from the people. Do you guys think that's, like, on us, that because of the turtles are getting harmed?
And actually, now that I think about it, it probably is on us.
I agree. I think it's on us. No one else really uses straws except for humans. And it's us who's putting it in the oceans because we don't have a better plan to get rid of them or recycle them.
I agree. I think it's not that hard to recycle plastic instead of just throwing it out on the beach.
Animals get harmed like every day from this. And like down south, in Hilton Head especially, there's a lot of turtles like on the sand and stuff. So like if there's just stuff in the sand or in the ocean, like it could just harm them because they're like babies too.
So moving on to the next topic about animal shelters, what do you guys think about animal shelters doing euthanization?
Well, for anyone who doesn't know what that means, in animal shelters, if an animal is in there for too long, they decide to put them down. And I think it's terrible because think about, like, orphans, too. Like, if an orphan's in an orphanage for so long, it's not like they'll put them down either.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's really unethical. And if I were the person who had to do this every day as a job, I would not feel very happy either.
I don't understand, like, why they have to put them down. If they're in there for so long, they should be taking care of them and giving them what they need to survive, not trying to take that away from them.
It just doesn't make any sense because, like, if they're in there for so long and, like, say it's a puppy, like, and it's been there for, like, a year and it still hasn't been adopted, like, what's the, like, there's no harm in that. Like, it's still a puppy that still has so much longer to live. It might just not have found the right family yet for them.
I agree. I think it's also really hard on the workers. Several times, animals who have been in shelters for a longer time tend to create different bonds with the workers. And if the animal is being euthanized for no reason except for being there for too long, then that kind of can put a, like, a mental toll on other people, too.
I feel like if they have, like, those special bonds with, like, the owners and, like, the people who run the shelter, like, I just don't understand, like, if they think they've been in there for so long, why don't they just, like, take them home instead and care for them instead of just leaving them there? Because they know that there's a possibility that they're going to die.
And it says on this website that there's 6 to 8 million animals that are in shelters. And that's a lot of animals. And there's 2.7 million animals that are being killed because of this. And that's a large portion of.
Not only to mention this, but it's also really costly for the euthanization. And it's costing animal shelters a lot more probably to euthanize the animal than to keep it into the shelter.
I agree. Even if an animal is in a shelter for a long time, they can even do fostering just so the number of animals being euthanized declines.
There are certain kinds of pets that people are more interested in, like in at shelters. I feel like some people, they almost don't want them because they know, like, maybe they haven't been taken care of as well as, like, they would be when they're, like, with their mom or with their dad, like, originally. Like, where we got my dog, he was with his family. He wasn't, like, just, like, at a shelter.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like us as people can also maybe try and adopt dogs more. Like, yeah, it's okay if you go into a breeder and get a dog, but if you want to, you can always go to a shelter and get a dog there.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of Youth Express. Youth Express is made possible with support from the Henry L. Hillman Foundation, the Pittsburgh Penguins Foundation, and the 33 Foundation, and was produced by SLB Radio Productions. Learn more at youthexpress.org.